The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is the 18th of March, 2019 at 7:05 in the morning, and the news is brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Good morning. Linda is still in Sacramento. She went down for a mini family gathering. That is the grandson or the great-grandson was being brought up to her parents' place, and her father had built from scratch this wooden rocking horse. I mean, it's a work of art, and he spent, gosh, you know, a couple months working on it. And so it turns out that where they live is so small, there's not room in there for the rocking horse, which is really good size. So now we're figuring out what to do with the rocking horse. But everybody had a great time. She's on her way back. She also had, I think, 3 days of retail therapy. So good morning, everybody. What's the weather look like? My friend Ashley and producer of the show today.
Yay. Weather looks basically perfect for the next couple of days. We're likely to get showers on Wednesday and then on Friday as well. But we're looking at a high of 74 today, 73 tomorrow. Lows in the mid-50s throughout the week. So get your sunshine in today.
Yeah, wow. Here we go again. Hey, the weather is brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. And it's also helping people out in the car fire, helping them out like that by bringing in larger propane tanks for them if they're out there with their RVs or trailers so they don't have to change it up so much. And he's doing it for free. Give him a call. 243-3724. I'll be okay here in a minute. 241-3.
Get your coffee in your system first.
Call them. Just call them today, okay? Just call them. Use them. They're great. Like I said, discounts for seniors and veterans.
Quick note for anyone who's on the roads today, and it's south of town, near South Bonneview, and then again from Hill Street. And, this one's also Hill Street. We are having lane closures along 273 throughout much of the day. One of the two lanes closed back and forth. They're just repairing pavement after Snowmageddon, so.
Okay. And by the way, Shasta Gas Propane is 365-3793.
When
I start off wrong, that's it. The whole thing, the whole place goes downhill. Okay. Now, let me tell you what's got my, what's stuck in my craw this morning. There's a movement, and, you know, Nancy Pelosi, of course, has got to be involved in this, about giving kids 16 years old the ability to vote. 16 years old. They're not old enough to buy cigarettes. They can't buy guns anymore in California or a lot of other places. So 16. Well, they put this out there, and you should have seen, I mean, I read yesterday responses from 16 and 17-year-olds about should they be able to vote. And they range from, oh, no, I'm still doing what my mom and dad tell me to do. You know, I'm still being grounded. You know, if I'm being grounded, I shouldn't be able to vote. I really thought it was a good idea to get 8 of my girlfriends and put them into a Dodge or get into a Toyota Prius and see how many we could get stuffed in there so we could go to the movies. I mean, it just went on and on. Hey, I wore parachute pants when I was 16. it's, you know, I fell in love with this. It was the love of my life, and all he was a hoodlum who set the bathroom on fire in high school. I mean, these are the people looking back on when they were 16, and I've got a great story. I can't even tell it hardly on the radio. I mean, it's not obscene. It doesn't have to do with sex or anything like that. It's just things that 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds do that are just crazy, and it ends up badly. Oh gosh! Oh, you know, I thought I'd get the fire going on the brush pile, so I threw a gasoline on it. I lost my eyebrows and my bangs. I mean, just went over thing after thing after thing like this when they were 16 or 17. And yet, there are places like in some communities that are letting 16 and 17-year-olds vote. Now, what do you think about that? Is it just me? Is it just me thinking that 16 and 17-year-olds can vote? I mean, we've had some 15 and 16 and 17-year-olds in here that seem pretty, you know, pretty good. But you know what? Maybe life's changed since I was 16. But no, I look around and I talk to parents who have things that their kids get into. And Pelosi says, well, if we catch them early, we'll make sure that they can vote later on. Well, kids, when they're 16, you know, the biggest thing in their lives may not be political science. It's, you know, one guy wrote, he said, I'm 23 and I'm still not sure I know enough to vote. So I just think it's, I'm going to put it on Facebook today about people wanting to vote when they're 16. Tell me the craziest things you did when you were 16. It just got me going on that one. 16 years old. I can't even imagine. You know what? I was hoping. The biggest thing in my life was hoping my face didn't break out before the weekend. Okay? You know, other things that you did was, I mean, it was just, you know, things that seem so important in the world. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm going to ask this girl out. Or should I vote for Trump or Hillary? Oh, gee, I'm not sure. Oh, what do you think about my pants? Okay, I am not taking shots at 16-year-olds. It's 16-year-olds. Geez, give them a chance. Come on. Give them a chance to kind of like grow up. You know, if you want, you know, let them get out of high school at least before you start burdening them with things that we screw up as 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds and 40-year-olds. Why do you want to start the angst for 16-year-olds? For kids so soon, let them get a little bit older. Let them get learn that, gosh, you know, there's more in life than Hostess cupcakes on the weekends or something or things like that. And again, I'm not knocking kids. Kids are, you know, they're very bright in this, but give them a chance to at least get out of high school before you start burdening them with, well, it's not only that, but you're going to be voting for the Senate. You're going to be voting for everything, everything.
We need to decide an age at which we trust a person to be a citizen.
Well, I think 50.
Okay.
I think 50.
Well, I think...
Something like that. Okay, 45.
You're allowed to run for president as 35, but, like, all of these different age limits, it's like, oh, we trust you with the future of our country, but we don't trust you with
I know. You know, you can't. You're not going to be able to buy a long gun. You can't buy ammo if you're under 21. Okay, here's a dichotomy for you. You can carry a concealed firearm under the age of 21, but you can't buy ammo for it under the new ammo law starting 1 July. Isn't that interesting? So unless you've got a hunting license or you're a member of the military or the law enforcement. So what do you do with a 20-year-old girl who is carrying a concealed firearm legally, but she can't buy ammo? Yeah, I'm sure they'll work it out. I'm sure the state of California will err on the side of gun owners on things on decisions like this. Okay, hey, look, we're going to have Theodore DeZuba is going to be joining us at about quarter after. And, in fact, he's on the line right now. We're going to take a break. And then at 8 o'clock, we've got Mike DeQuisto on telling me why he voted for the soccer field and voted against funding the parks. But Theodore DeZuba is going to tell us why he is going to be the choice. He should be your choice for senator for our district up here. He's one of the four that are running. Well, five, including the Democrat. So we're going to take a quick break. You know, this whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I was engaged in a variety of different things, you know, events I had to be at. And coming back and then getting things done that have to be done for around the house. When I fall into the bed, in our sleep number bed, there's nothing better. How much is a good night's sleep worth? Well, for me, it's worth a lot. We've been sleeping on our sleep number for, 5 years now? And we've never had a problem with it. And with the new Sleep Number 360 smart beds, everything, you know, if you're moving, it will adjust along with you. I can tell you, though, when I can adjust the firmness of that mattress from the very softest to, you know, to the very, you know, the most firm. And I have slept at 100 when it's been at 100% firmness and slept well. But my best sleeping number seems to be about 60 or 65. And you can do that. You know what? There's so many things in life you don't have control over. Why not have control over how you sleep? Right now, if you go on down to the Target Shopping Center, you can save $500 on Sleep Number 360 smart beds, highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. Tell them Carl and Linda sent you. That's Sleep Number. We'll be right back after these messages at 7:15 in the morning. It's 50 degrees out there with Theodore at the Zuba, candidate for California State Senate.
Just got to have about a half a million a famed autographs. Her wallet filled with pictures. She gets them one by one. Becomes so excited. Watch her look at her run.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
The original Home and Garden Expo returns to the Shasta District Fair and Event Center this weekend. Speak to the experts ranging from home remodeling and construction through landscaping solutions, interior design and decor, to financial and insurance services, and learn about the latest in design and green technology. Plus, the Love Your Pet Expo featuring vaccines, heartworm testing, dog sports, demonstrations, adoptions, and more. For information, go online at Reading Home Expo and loveyourpetexpo.com.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Your talk radio. Good morning. It is, gosh, 7:20 in the morning. It's 50 degrees out there. It's going to be a really beautiful day. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane and Alliance Heating and Air is bringing us this portion of the show. Over 25 years of outstanding service. They're the ones that work on our stuff at the Bot Home. 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. They can do it all for you. Alliance Heating and Air. I'm on the air with State Senate candidate Theodore DeZuba. Good morning, Theodore.
Good morning.
Can I call you Theodore?
Sure.
Named after Teddy Roosevelt, I see.
Indeed. Absolutely.
Hey, you know what? You're the first Senate candidate I've ever met or talked to that loves screaming fast torque brute motorcycles. Is that true?
We're gonna talk about that.
Is that true?
It's absolutely true. And fortunately, the weather has finally turned around for us. So I got a chance to go riding yesterday, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, but isn't it a little bit dangerous out there, the way the infrastructure is in this state?
Yeah, you learn real quick how to dodge the potholes when you ride in California.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's for sure. Okay, Theodore, tell everybody a little bit about you. I kind of told everybody that you were named after Theodore Roosevelt and that you like screaming fast torque brute motorcycles, which I think is absolutely fine. But there's more to you than that.
Yeah, I'm a businessman. I live in Placerville, and I have never held elected office. I've never run for elected office, and I've never been involved in Sacramento politics. But I got involved in the state Senate race because I see the problem that illegal immigration is posing for California, and I want to do something about it.
But do you think this is the biggest problem facing California?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And why is that?
I think it's not just a public safety issue. We've all seen the tragedies in the news of folks getting hurt or killed by illegal immigrants who were released back onto the street because our law enforcement is not allowed to do their job. But more than that, I think it's a moral issue, because I worry that if these are the people who are coming to America today who are disrespecting the rule of law, I worry for what America is going to look like in 100 years.
Well, you know, that's not a bad way of looking at it, that's for sure. You know, the thing about it is that not only does it seem like we have open arms for this, that we have no way of keeping track. All we're doing is draining. How much do you have an estimate on how much money we're paying to take care of people that are here illegally?
Oh, gosh, I can't even imagine today. But I do know that if Newsom gets what he wants, then we're going to be paying a whole lot more. I've heard he's talked about free health care for illegal immigrants,
mm-hmm.
among other things. And how much is enough is what I got to ask. At what point do we say we can't pay for this anymore? I mean, not just the idea of the cost, but there's public safety problems. There's moral problems. Something's got to be done about this.
Well, you know, the battle at the border, do you think there's ever going to be an extension of the wall along the border by Trump?
You know what? I sure hope so. I really support the wall, and I support the president's his strategy on immigration. Now, that's not something that the state Senate can really do anything about, but we know that Newsom is going to be fighting hard against the president. So what we can do in the state Senate is fight hard against Newsom.
Okay, well, let's talk about that a little bit. Right now, the Dems have a supermajority, and frankly, they can take one of your bills, and this has happened many times, and just gut it and make it their bill. Or they can take a bill and not gut it, make it their bill. Just change the words around a little bit. How do you handle that when you're so outnumbered? How would you handle that?
Yeah, you know, it's really unfortunate. The fact of the matter is we don't have the votes right now in the state legislature, and we won't have the votes for at least 10 years if we look at how the races are going to turn out. But there is an opportunity here, absolutely. When we look at illegal immigration, one thing that we as conservatives can do and can focus on is local races, like county supervisor, district attorney, and sheriff, because these are the folks that can go and overturn the sanctuary state county by county and city by city. And when we do that, then we've supported that next generation of conservative Republicans who can go and run against the Democrats for those seats in the legislature. They're already experienced, and we know they've got the conservative chops.
Well, you know what? That's a good idea, but I see that if, say a sheriff, Tom Pasinko, he's a strong Second Amendment guy, he's a law and order type of person, as are many up here in Northern California. The problem could be is that, hey, this is going to be a sanctuary county for the Second Amendment, and it's not going to be a sanctuary county for illegals. What keeps the California state legislature from turning off the funds?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big concern. I would say what keeps the California state legislature from turning off the funds is folks like us, people here in the North State and in other parts of California that are pretty conservative, mounting a serious competition to the Democrats in their home districts. That's the way that we can start fighting back.
Do you think that giving Gavin Newsom everything he wants is going to help the Republican Party?
No, absolutely not. I think that giving Gavin Newsom everything he wants is going to make California much worse off.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that if Gavin Newsom gets everything he wants and the economy tanks, we've got, from what I understand, you know, there's a certain percentage of people in California that pay most of the taxes, and those people are moving out. And if businesses start moving out because they're raising taxes on everything, including your drinking water, at some point there's going to be a voter revolt on this. Do you think that if they keep changing things, that all of a sudden people will go, wait a minute, we're going so far in the wrong direction, we need to swing back?
I think that's absolutely happening, but I don't see that as a reason not to fight. Now, I've had business partners, pretty liberal folks, in the Bay Area and the technology industry, who are moving their businesses out of state because they say it's too expensive.
Uh-huh.
And they don't bother to think through why that is. So you're right. There is this mass exodus of business and people from California. And the tide's going to start swinging back to the right. I think we're going to see it happen in 2020, absolutely.
You think so, huh? Well, you know, there's a realtor here in town in Redding says he's halfway populated a town in Idaho with people that are moving up there. And I thought, you know, that's kind of funny, but then it's kind of true when you start thinking about it from people. Now, your background is in computer systems, information technology. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I've built three technology companies in California, and every one of them focused on more or less the same thing, which is helping small local businesses sell more stuff using the Internet.
Okay. And the one time you got in trouble, I love this. I love this.
Yeah.
The one time you get in trouble that you can remember, because I'm going to ask you another question after this, is when you got suspended for a week for hacking into the school's computer system just to see if you could do it.
I did. Yep. When I was in high school, I got in trouble. And it was funny because that was before, you know, I'm 16 years old, don't really know how the world works all that well. And when stuff starts going weird with the school computer systems, who do you ask but the two kids in the school who know stuff about computers? And sure enough, you know, they sweated us down and we cracked under the pressure. But
you cracked under the pressure. Did you do
yeah,
it?
You know,
yes, I did it.
I did it. You know, 16 years old, don't really know what's going on. But, yeah, I paid the price and I got suspended. But in the end, I think it was a learning experience for me.
Yeah, because they invited you back later to give the commencement speech about honest troublemaking.
Yeah, and later on they invited me back to be on the Board of Trustees, which I currently serve on today.
Okay, hey, look, I'm going to take an early break because one of the things that's coming up, I want to hear I can do it right now. Nancy Pelosi wants wants the voting age dropped to 16. How appropriate that you are 16. And I've been reading responses from 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 20-year-olds about why this is such a bad idea. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think this is another ploy for the Democrats to start just opening up a more liberal voting base. You know, I look at it this way. 18 years old is the age at which you're an adult in America. That's the age which you can go and sign up to fight for your country. And that should be the age at which you can vote.
Can't buy a cigarette.
Right.
In California.
Can't have either.
Can't buy a gun.
Yeah, you know, and it's crazy, but still, I think once you're 18, that's the age that you should
okay.
be able to vote.
All right. When you're old enough to serve your country.
Yeah.
You know what? My argument against it is, hey, kids grow up. You know what? They're 16. There's so much angst in their life. You don't need to add more by giving them, oh, here, you've got to vote for this. And if you don't vote, you're a bad person. Wait till they're 18 and then tell them they're a bad person. Give them those 2 years. Because you know what? You're, you know what? I'm too busy hacking into my school's computer system. Or you know, some of the ones where I had eight of my girlfriends in my Toyota, in my Toyota to see, so we could go shopping. You know, I mean, just, it was things that people, I mean, it went on and on and on, things they did when they were 16, why they should never be able to vote.
Yeah, I mean, kids make stupid mistakes, right? It's part of growing up.
As long as I'm being grounded, I shouldn't be able to vote.
Yeah, and, you know, I'd hate for one of those stupid mistakes to be voting Democrat.
Well, that too. Then you'd have to live with the angst of that. Okay, hey, look, we're here with Theodore DeZuba. He's running for Senate here in the state of California. We're going to come back. We're going to get into some more things about how he, his ideas on business, the environment up here, and firefighting. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank is community-oriented, is run by our friends and neighbors. And you can visit online at bankcornerstone.com for more information. But go on down to Cornerstone Community Bank and experience how they're moving local dreams forward. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. It's 7:30 in the morning. We're here with Theodore DeZuba, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
My favorite color scheme, and he pulled her on behind and down to Box Hill. They didn't ride. Us is James to Red Molly.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Look at Brian Dolly's record in Sacramento. Dolly voted for amnesty for 11 million illegal aliens, granting them all the rights of citizenship, even though they break our laws. And Dolly voted against President Trump's border security plan. Brian Dolly even praises the liberal assembly speaker from Los Angeles, the leading advocate for sanctuary laws. Living in Sacramento has changed Brian Dolly. Now he's part of the problem.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Born to be wild. You know what? You have never heard that song until you're at Sturgis with like about 10,000 of your closest friends on motorcycles when they're listening to this thing. You can't hear the song because people are just cranking those engines up. Of course, those are real motorcycles. Those are not screaming fast torque-proof motorcycles. On the this portion of the show is brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. And you know what? I'll tell you why I'm laughing, and he's laughing about this. You know what? Jeff's been doing this for decades. There's nobody better in town that's going to fix your windshield. With a little bitty chip or a crack over 2.5 feet in length. You got an RV, you got that chip in it, call Jeff at 241-8373. And he's located at 3208 South Market Street. It's a better-known business. Integrity, professionalism. Okay, I'm on the phone with Theodore DeZuba, who is running for state senator up in our district here, and he loves screaming fast torque-proof motorcycles. You know, they pass me. They pass me. They're leaning over probably in an impossible position to keep for more than 15 minutes. But I suppose that's okay. Are they aligned so you can drive faster?
Well, you know, I got to say, as hoping to become a lawmaker, I really enjoy riding a motorcycle down the road at a reasonable speed.
Of course. LaMoffa drives. And you know what? He was driving in one of his hogback growlers one time, and all you could hear is this, wah, boom, wah. And it's like, hey, Doug, how fast are you going? Oh, you know, okay. Hey, there's we know that one of your main planks you're running on is stopping illegal immigration. I've got some more questions here for other topics. Second Amendment. We're getting killed. Yeah. We're getting killed here in California on the Second Amendment. I was just talking about a young lady who is 20, has got a concealed carry, but come one July she's not going to be able to buy ammunition because she's not 21.
That's just insane. You know, I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm a lifelong sportsman, hunter, gun owner. I have a concealed carry permit, and I do carry because it's my right to. And I think California and Newsom especially, they've made no mistake about the idea that they're going to be coming for more of our guns. We're looking at more, quote-unquote, assault weapons rules, which is, I mean, we know that is just banning scary-looking guns. But we know there's more coming, and that's something that we absolutely have to fight against because it is our right as Americans.
It is our right, and I don't understand why I'm being punished for somebody doing something in New Zealand and in some of the other places in our country. Why the vast majority, how about 99.9% of gun owners never do anything wrong. There's never anything done. I mean, that obtain their guns legally, that obey the laws, they don't do anything wrong.
Absolutely. My AR-15 has been sitting in my safe for years, and it hasn't spontaneously jumped up and committed a crime.
It didn't run out in the street? It didn't run out in the street and shoot a dog?
No, not yet, but, you know, I have it in a safe just in case.
Okay. You know, up here, we're in a constant water battle, and the state seems to be would love to take our water. And, you know, I mean, when I'm talking about riparian water rights, wells, they want to tax wells, they want to tax rainwater. I mean, they want to tax water, drinking water. How can you stop? I mean, is that something that you see? I shouldn't say stop, but is that something you see as a big problem?
It is. I'm a riparian landowner myself. I own land on the South Fork of the American River. And the way I see it, we've had a lot of rainfall this year. We've been very fortunate that we've had a lot of precipitation this year. And we're hearing that we're coming out of the drought now, which is, I think that's fantastic. But that's still not an excuse for these insane water taxes. I mean, 55 gallons per person per day. Beyond that, you pay a fine. What's that about? You can't take a shower and wash your clothes in the same day? That's just insane. Anybody who's got kids can tell you that you end up doing a lot of laundry. You end up taking a lot of showers with the little ones. And that's just a punitive tax on hardworking families. Now, if we're going to fight that, that's not something, again, that we have the votes for in the legislature. But that's where we go to the court of public opinion. That's where we make them defend these silly policies in public personally.
Well, I think that's a good idea. Just keep fighting them. You can't just stop. You got to fight them.
And I'm not the type to give up.
Well, at the same time, let's talk about environment here. I mean, up here in Northern California, we have beautiful, you know, beautiful rivers, beautiful lakes. I mean, like where you are on the American River, mm-hmm. where I almost drowned one time on a raft trip going down some of the more rapid rapids down there. Our environment up here is real important, but yet fire is taking that environment away from us. Do you have any thoughts about you know, I mean, even Brown, I think even Newsom, maybe even the Democrats are thinking that maybe we ought to do something about that. What's your strategy on this?
You know, we've tried the Sierra Club's way of managing a forest, which is to just leave it alone and never touch it, and that doesn't work. We've seen this time and again. Now, they talk about the environmental impact, but I got to know, what's the environmental impact of 1 million acres of forest land going up in flames? That's got to be no good.
You know what? You talk about clean air and how much we're heating up the earth and how much carbon is going up. I mean, that right there, I think makes up. I think they said the fires up here, the car fire, makes up for something like 10,000 cars for a year. And, you know, with the amount of carbon that's stuck up in the air. So, yeah, I mean, okay, so one of the things then is how we control these forests. What's your ideas on that?
So I see a forest as not as a garden, but as a crop. Conservation to me means taking that natural resource and making the most use of it to provide the most benefit for the most number of people for the longest time. So when I see that, I see logging. That's the way that we can make a living, we can start putting money back into our communities and protect them from wildfire by thinning out the forest. It's just a no-brainer. I think we can't afford to keep letting these forests grow and grow and grow and just produce a fire ladder for bigger and bigger fires every single year.
Are you familiar with cogen plants?
Yeah, I've heard about the biomass.
Yeah, the biomass plants, which is, by the way, considered a renewable asset. Would you be on board for increasing the number of biogen plants?
Oh, I'll say I'm on board for any way that we can start putting this forest and this landmass to work for people so we can provide jobs and, as you're talking about, provide energy. You know, but it's got to be good for the communities too. So I think there's a lot of places like this where we can get a double benefit, where we get some energy generated, maybe some other benefits, and we get some jobs back into the community.
How about nuclear power?
Yeah, that's a difficult one because it's so highly regulated. I think the left has really gone pretty far to stop nuclear power. But when you look at generating power in a clean way, nuclear power looks like one of the only ways that we can actually create enough energy to meet the demands because we surely aren't going to get it out of wind.
Well, you know, right now the state of California is into this. I think it's by, in another 20 years, 25 years, that we have that's something like, 75%, 80%? Oh, no, I guess it's in like 30 years. 100% of our power has to come from us renewable assets. You think that's possible? You have done a lot in the technology field and, you know, in these, plus and the work you've done in other places. Is that possible? Is it possible to have 100% if you're not using nuclear?
In California, at least, no, because what we're going to end up doing to satisfy that law is buying the power from out of state. And, I mean, from my perspective, that doesn't really solve that's not really in line with the spirit of the law that they're trying to pass here. When they say, oh, we want clean power, so instead of doing the work to generate it ourselves, we'll just buy it from out of state and wash our hands of it. That's not an answer.
I think that's probably the only answer they're going to have because, you know, as the sun goes down, solar goes down, the wind sometimes doesn't blow. Sometimes we have rain for weeks or cloudy days. I can't figure out how they're going to do this. Now, I'm a strong proponent myself of nuclear power because seeing the Navy putting nuclear power plants in submarines where people are locked in them for 6 months of a, 6 months out of the year, year after year, and none of them, none of their children are being born with birth defects or, more than the normal and this. And I see carriers out there providing power for decades and never being an accident. I don't understand why people think that nuclear power is so dangerous.
Yeah, we've seen in the news the nuclear plant in Japan that melted down. But by and large, we have the technology today to do this safely and to do it far more safely than it had been in the 60s and 70s and 80s, which is where all these reactors come from.
Yeah, I don't know if people realize that what happened at Chernobyl, the exact same incident happened at Three Mile Island. The only difference was Three Mile Island was built in such a way they contained it. And nobody died. We're in Chernobyl. People are still dying from that one. And they point out, they point out the Japanese reactor and they point out the Chernobyl, but both of those were built wrong, incorrectly. So yeah, I think this is an uphill fight though. That it's going it's got to start at the national level and work your way down. Hey, we're here with Theodore DeZuba, who is running for a Senate here in our district. He has ideas that we need to bring logging back so that that we can start controlling these fires by taking out the ladder fuels and all these others, and to try and control that, to use it to use the stuff we're pulling out of these forests and well thought out plans for cogen plants. Second Amendment, he's very strong in the Second Amendment. If you're just tuning in right now, concealed carry holder, which is good. I think I'm all for that. For people being able to protect themselves and their loved ones, because we've got a great police department here, but it's 11 and a half to 12 minutes before they get there. And I think sometimes that's way too late. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break at 7:46 in the morning, and we're going to be right back. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Jewelry. You're not going to find a better place to buy jewelry in this town. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading. This is where Linda hangs out when she's not hanging out with me. 2225 Hilltop Drive. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back with Theodore DeZuba. 51 degrees out there, 7:46 in the morning.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Real people, real winners.
Want a chance to play in the biggest poker tournament of the year?
Wind River Resort and Casino is giving one lucky winner the opportunity to win the seat of a lifetime and play in the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas. A chance to play in the $10,000 No Limit Hold'em Main Event World Championship with some of the biggest names in poker and represent Wind River Resort and Casino. Head down to our poker room and play to earn a chance for a seat into the satellite game on April 24th. This satellite game will determine who plays in the final showdown for the World Series of Poker seat. Don't want to wait on chance? Earn 120 or more hours of live play in 1 month to guarantee a spot in the final showdown on May 1st to determine the final winner for the WSOP seat. Only Wind River Resort and Casino is offering the chance for you to win poker seat of a lifetime, because poker is better at the river. For all the details on poker seat of a lifetime, download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. It's playtime. Playtime. All the time. At Wind River Resort and Casino.
February 22, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that 96.5 FM. It's your talk radio. People like to hear what's going on here. If you want to hear what's going on in our town and our state and our nation, this is a good place to do it. This portion of the show brought to you by one of our best friends, Home Helpers. Sharon Clark is going to come see you for a complimentary in-home consultation, whether it's 2 hours a day or 24 hours a day you need help. Give them a call at 226-8350. Remember, there's no place like home. We're here with Theodore DeZuba, who is our, he is a candidate for the Senate for our district. And we've been listening to him expound on what he believes are, you know, the important parts of the of what's going to happen to us in the future. And Theodore, I've been kind of like running this by asking you questions, so it's your turn now.
Yeah. So, thanks again for having me on the show. I love radio. Radio audiences. I think it's a great way to talk to folks who are out there doing the hard work, especially this early in the morning.
They're active listeners. They're active listeners. Active listeners in talk radio means is that they'll stay, you know, if you're on, and I'm not knocking music stations at all, but a lot of times when that commercial starts, they pop over to another station that plays the kind of music they like. Active listeners on talk radios, they'll sit through the advertisements because they want to hear what's happening on the other side of it.
Absolutely. And I think that folks like your audience, and when I've been up to Reading, folks that have been in the audiences of the candidate forums that we have, these are the people who are really going to make a difference, because these are the people who care. These are the people who are going to show up and vote and get active in their community politics, and these are the folks who are going to be able to bring back more conservative representation in California because we show up to vote and because we make our intentions known.
Yeah, you know, it's a great place to advertise. I got to get that in there. Come on, Theodore, give me a break.
Yeah, putting the sell on me here.
Yeah, this is a great area up here, Northern California, and you live up here. You know what it's like living up here. You know, when you tell people, hey, I'm from California, you know, they immediately think that Southern California. They don't have any idea what it's like up here.
Yeah, they don't. And I live about an hour outside of Lake Tahoe, which for me as a ski bum is fantastic. But California, I think, has been too characterized as the liberal left coast. And there's so much more to the state than that, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I want to be part of the state Senate because I want to protect that way of life. And I want to make sure that we get our fair representation in Sacramento.
Do you think you can reach across the aisle?
you know what, to get anything done, you're going to have to. But that's the art of politics. That's the art of governing, right? In any compromise, nobody should be happy with it, because that's what a compromise is. But that isn't to say I'm not going to fight for conservative values. That's why I want to go to Sacramento, because we are underrepresented, and we need someone who's going to stand up and tell it like it is and make the Democrats go on record and talk publicly about the crazy stuff they want to do and call Gavin Newsom out on the crazy stuff that he wants to do, because it's making California unlivable for us.
Do you think that there's going to be you're convinced that 2020 you're going to start seeing changes? Is that true?
Yeah. You know, it's going to be a presidential election year, so that's going to bring a lot of folks out to vote on both sides. There's some chaos happening on the ballot. We've got a threat to Proposition 13 that's going to come on the ballot. That's something that I want to work to fight against, because it's going to make all of our businesses much, much more expensive to operate if we lose Prop 13 protections for our commercial properties. And with all that chaos, that comes opportunity. That's the place where we, as conservatives, can go and start calling out the Democrats on their crazy policies. We can say, look, this is just too expensive. There's no way we can keep doing this. And there is a better way. Vote Republican.
Yet people voted twice for the high-speed train.
Yeah, you know what? It's the high-speed train. I've never seen a bigger waste of time or money. Well, you know, I could probably think of a couple others. But still, here in California, at least, that's got to take the cake. And that's something that we got to keep calling that out, because as prices continue to rise, that's what we can point to and say, this is why. Crazy stuff like this.
Well, even Gavin saw that and started cutting back on it, it looks like. So.
Yeah, he did. Well, I think he wants to spend the money on other stuff.
Well, he needs to be able to fund. He needs to be able to fund free health care.
We're not getting a check back from the state, that's for sure.
What would be an example of a bill you'd introduce?
So, look, when we talk about Second Amendment, I am a strong proponent of concealed carry reciprocity with other states. California doesn't have any CCW reciprocity, and I think that's terrible. Because I live close to Nevada, and, you know, I could get a Nevada CCW, but still, carrying across state lines, like, that's something important. And that shows that California is serious about, or that we conservatives, at least, are serious about gun rights. When it comes to undoing sanctuary state, SB 54, like I said, we don't have the votes to get that through right now, but that's something that I want to go and support at the local level.
Would you support a county that says, hey, we're a sanctuary county?
Well, you know, that's not something I can get behind. If a county wants to go along with the state law. And
no, I mean, I'm sorry. I meant if we're not a sanctuary county, that's what I meant. That, okay, say Shasta County says we are no longer part of the sanctuary. We are not a sanctuary county. We will report ours to ICE. We will take them and hold them. How do you protect a county that does that?
Yeah, you know what? That's going to be the job of all the legislators and even the members of Congress that represent that county. That's where we as Republicans got to come together. And this is going to be working with Doug LaMalfa for North State. It's going to be working with Brian Daly, as he continues to do a great job in the assembly. It's a team. It's going to take a team of folks to protect our rural counties that want to opt out of the sanctuary state and to make sure that we don't go bankrupt in the process.
Okay, 1 minute left. It's yours.
Thanks. So like I said, my name is Theodore Juva. I'm running for state senate to end illegal immigration in California. This is the biggest problem that we face in California today. It's not just a public safety issue, but it's a moral issue. And it's our duty as conservatives to get it fixed. So I would be very much honored to have your vote on March 26th.
There you go. Theodore, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Hope you have a great day.
And be careful out there on that screaming fast torque brute motorcycle you have. What kind is it?
I've got three of them, actually. I've got two sport touring bikes and one track bike.
Oh, you like to get on the track, huh?
Yeah, I try to. You know, rubber side down.
Rubber side down. That's right. Don't have that first beer until the kickstands are down.
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, Theodore, thanks a lot and good luck.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great morning.
You bet. That was Theodore Zuba, who's running for one of the four Republicans running for state senate. We've had them all on, of course, Brian Daly and Kevin Kiley. Tomorrow, Rex Hine is going to be on at 7:15 in the morning, so we can talk to Rex and see what his plans are and where he stands also. Today, I haven't seen him yet, but Mike DeQuisto is going to be here. We're going to talk about the, at the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about the soccer field. And as you know, Erin Reznor was on last week, and it was very strong in her proponents, you know, of why we need a soccer field. And Mike voted on it, too, but both of them voted, ran on a planks of public safety first, and things, anything else after that. So it'll be interesting to see what Mike says on that. Plus, there's vote on not raising park, or not raising fees because, for parks, for future parks. But all that will be back right after the 8 o'clock hour here. It's 53 degrees. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans. And this is KCNR, Shasta Ready.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Dutch police hunting for a 37-year-old Turkish-born man in connection with this morning's shooting on a tram in the city of Utrecht. One person was killed, others wounded. Police say they cannot rule out a possible terrorist motive, and the country is under the highest possible terror alert level. New Zealand's police commissioner says a lone gunman was behind the attack last week on two mosques that left 50 people dead, dozens wounded. The attack sparking a national gun control debate.
New Zealand is about to announce gun law reforms in the wake of the shocking attacks on two mosques last Friday in Christchurch that left 50 people dead. At a news conference in Wellington, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said the cabinet has made in-principle decisions for gun law reforms. Ardern plans to publicly announce the reforms before next Monday. Ardern also said there will be an inquiry into intelligence and security services.
The purpose of this inquiry is to look at what all relevant agencies knew or could or should have known.
I'm Mike Rossia.
President Trump turning up the heat on General Motors.
A week after the last Chevrolet Cruze rolled off the factory line in Lordstown, the president is putting pressure on GM to close a plant in China or Mexico and bring jobs home to the U.S. He doesn't want GM and the United Auto Workers Union to wait until fall to start talks about other plants scheduled to close. The president tweets that he wants the Lordstown facility opened or sold to a company who will open it up fast. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Midwest flooding is proving deadly. At least two deaths blamed on historic flooding that's battered several states, including Iowa and Nebraska. Lyft offering 30 million shares in its initial public offering, hoping to raise more than $2 billion. Ride-hailing company could eventually be valued at between $20 billion and $25 billion. Wall Street, the Dow up 15 points, NASDAQ up 43. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's so nice now that the kids are asleep.
Cheers.
We got the kids, our house, a stable income.
Checking off all the boxes.
But there's one box we haven't checked off.
What's that?
Life insurance.
We don't need to think about that now. We're young.
That's why now is the best time. Life insurance gets more expensive the older you get.
But I don't have time to do a blood test. Such a hassle to meet with someone just to get a quote.
Not with Ethos.
Ethos?
It's a modern kind of life insurance. You just answer four quick questions at getethos.com and get a free instant quote. No pushy salespeople. And no medical exams required for policies covering under $1 million. You can apply online in just 10 minutes.
10 minutes? Let's do it.
But then what will we do for the rest of the night?
I'm sure we can think of something.
Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to getethos.com. That's E-T-H-O-S. Getethos.com. Getethos.com.
The number of people killed after torrential downpours triggered flash floods and mudslides that ripped through mountainside villages in Indonesia's easternmost province has climbed to 79. Dozens of others are missing. Yesterday, the disaster-prone country was hit by an earthquake. That triggered a landslide that hit a popular waterfall on the tourist island of Lombok, killing at least three people, damaging hundreds of homes. British Prime Minister Theresa May warns it would be a potent symbol of Parliament's collective political failure if a Brexit delay means the UK has to take part in May's European Parliament election, almost 3 years after Britain's voted to leave the bloc. May also cautions that if British lawmakers fail to back her Brexit deal before Thursday's European Council summit, we will not leave the EU for many months, if ever. May is expected to try to win Parliament's approval of her withdrawal agreement from the EU for a third time this week. News and analysis at townhall.com. Amazon gets green light to locate in suburban Washington, D.C.
Amazon received a unanimous vote of approval from Arlington, Virginia's County Board. It comes with a $23 million package of incentives for Amazon to build a new headquarters. The 5-0 vote came after hours of heated public testimony Saturday. Supporters say Amazon's plan to build a facility in the neighborhood of Crystal City is an opportunity for tens of thousands of good jobs. Opponents oppose the subsidies and fear lower-income residents would be driven out. Amazon last month abandoned a plan to build a headquarters from similar debate in New York City. George Bonzani reporting.
Southwest Airlines and its mechanics union may be on the verge of settling their 6-year labor dispute. They have a tentative contract now. It still needs to be voted on by the roughly 2,400 mechanics. They would receive a 20% pay raise if the contract wins approval. And on Wall Street, the Dow up a dozen points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:05 in the morning. News is always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm here with Ashley. And Ashley, what's the weather look like for the rest of the week? Tell me this is going to last.
This is going to mostly last. We can see the beautiful sunshine we saw over the weekend. We can see that today, tomorrow, we'll be seeing a good portion of that Thursday as well. Wednesday, we are looking at a little bit of a storm just to keep the grasses wet. And then showers likely on Friday as well. But we're going to be 72 degrees and sunny for the next couple of days.
Okay, what about what Saturday and Sunday look like? I'm going turkey hunting with my I'm in part of that Jake hunting organization where we take kids who have never hunted turkeys before between ages of 12 and 15. We take them out hunting.
That's
so
exciting.
Yeah, the first time for him. Yeah, it is exciting for him. Oh, my gosh. I've got a hunter and his father. Neither one of them have ever been turkey hunting, and they're all excited about it. I'm excited. It is exciting to get a kid out there, you know, blind, and they see the turkeys on the ground coming in. And I mean, it's really exciting, and we catch these kids early so that, you know, we want them to have a great experience. And even if they don't have a great experience, I mean, even if they don't harvest a turkey, they have a great experience. That's the big thing. You know, with lots of stuff goes along with barbecues and a banquet and all these things. So what's it look like Saturday and Sunday?
If you're hoping to stay dry, you're better off trying on Sunday. You're going to have a 62, 64 degrees as a high for both of those days, but it is saying showers likely. Now, past 3 days, it's difficult to really accurately predict any of this stuff, so that may change over the weekend.
Well, I hate to say it, but because of their prior commitments, we can't hunt on Saturday, but we can hunt on Sunday, which means maybe it won't be raining. It might be safer.
You're better off, yeah, trying. I don't know the speed of this particular storm coming in at the end of the week. But.
Now, that's part of the great time. There's nothing better than sitting in a wet blind. Okay. Hey, let's go to the phone. Sally, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am well, thank you.
We had Theodore Zuba on.
Oh, yes.
And it was interesting. He's an interesting fellow.
Yes, he is, and a very personable one. We met him when he came up here to our debate. So I'm glad to have him on. Now, who are you going to have on next?
Tomorrow, Rex Himes is on.
We'll be listening.
Okay, we've already had Kevin, of course, you know, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting. I was interested in listening to what Theodore said, but I also am interested in Rex because he's pushing the idea that voting for either one of those two, Kevin Kiley or Brian Valley, means that lots of money for elections and then follow-up elections.
Absolutely. Just over $1 million to have an election in our county alone.
Oh, come on. It doesn't cost over $1 million.
That's what they've been saying.
Our county pays. Our county doesn't pay $1 million. It's the state pays $1 million, right?
I'm not sure. It's the county has to pay something towards it because not every county will be involved in this special election. Just those in Assembly District 1.
Uh huh. Well, okay. All right. So,
all right. Well, tonight we have a guest that you had on the program a couple of months ago, Suzanne from Carousel. I called her right after I heard her on your program and got her to come to talk to our group about the Northern California Anti-Trafficking Coalition.
I tell you what, we have a problem with that up here. For the main reason is that we're at the crossroads of many of these major arteries that come through here.
Yes. Yes, north and south. And she's going to be bringing the film that was shown at the Cascade Theater, and our people are going to be able to watch that and then ask questions of Suzanne after the presentation.
She's very bright, and she's really into this. So that's tonight.
Yes, that's tonight at 6 o'clock at 2570 South Bonnie View Road.
If you think it looks like a church, it is a church.
It is a church, yeah. And there'll be a Reading Patriots sign out front.
And people on the side of the road going, come on in, come on in.
Come on in.
Yeah. All right, Sally.
All right.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a good meeting tonight.
It will be. We're looking forward to meeting Suzanne.
It's a great lady.
All right. Thank you, Carl.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Okay, is that all on the line? Okay. Hey, I'm here with Michael DeQuisto, Reading City Councilman, who ran on public safety as being the number one problem in our city.
Good morning.
Good morning. Has that changed?
No.
Soccer fields aren't more important?
we may as well talk about the soccer park.
Yeah, let's just get started on that.
There's a lot of things to talk about.
Right.
I don't view this, and I did run on public safety, and I still maintain that that's the number one problem the city has and the number one issue that needs to be taken care of. I don't view the soccer park and public safety as mutually exclusive, meaning if you do the soccer park, you can't also do public safety. I think that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Having said that, and I'll just short-circuit the people that are unhappy with the vote that I made, and there are some.
I imagine there are.
There are. Well, that's what happens when you can't please everybody all the time.
You know, you've got a lot of people supporting it, people I respect, but you've got a lot of other people I respect, too, that are going, they're just, you know, they can't. They're looking at now and then long range.
So here's the couple issues with the soccer park. For the last 10 years, and I spent yesterday going over the leases and going over the changes and how it's been run, it was an investment in the community that the city decided to make, which has never operated in the manner in which they thought it was going to operate. It's never generated enough money. That according to the projections. And each time they changed the lease, and they changed it five times, while it doesn't specifically say, in essence, they were deferring payments to the field replacement fund, they were extending payments, they were reducing payments. And clearly it's because they weren't generating enough money to make those replacements. And frankly, it should have been dealt with years ago. It shouldn't have waited until now to have something happen to it. It wasn't, and done is done, but it should have been dealt with years ago.
Okay.
So,
and you're right. It should have.
It should have.
Who's in charge of that? I mean, there was somebody supposed to be overseeing this, right?
It would be the Parks Department, the director of the Parks Department.
So Kim Niemer.
That would be Ms. Niemer.
So did she raise the red flag at any time? I know there was even a grand jury investigation about this. And everything the grand jury found, the city agreed with. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're going to start this oversight. And this was in 2015. So was that done?
As far as I can tell, it was not, and that's unfortunate. But done is done. And let's move forward.
And let's go forward with this. This is after the break. We're going to get into the funding of it and all that. But what plan is made to change it looking forward?
So there's a current lease in effect, and the city will bring, or the staff will bring back a new proposed lease, which will include, we'll see what the changes are. One of the conditions that I stated in or one of the reasons in voting for approval was that the lease needs to be pretty specific, and it needs to be doable, but it also needs to be enforced. So I will say right now, and I'm willing to try to oversee it and to help out, but if they don't meet their goals that we put in the lease in 6 months or in a year, after the new field opens, I have no problem saying you're out. You're done. We can't just keep going on and on and on because it's not fair to the rest of the citizens. And if it needs to be done, the soccer park would be closed and maybe get a new operator.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So now, after we've spent $5.1 million, they've never made their payments before. Now, they're raising their rates, and I understand that. And I tell you what, the young man, Mr. New. I can't remember his first name.
Chad.
I talked to Chad on Friday and had a great conversation with him. I'm very confident in this young man and what he's thinking. But if they don't make their payments, we're not going to be able to, like, repossess the field, or are we?
No, the city owns the field. So right. You can't repossess it.
Can't repossess it. And if you do take it away from the soccer association, who comes in then?
Whoever wants it the most, who thinks they can run it better. Maybe. I mean, at some point, the city has helped a lot and has done a lot.
Yeah.
But at some point, the city may need to say, we're done helping. You guys need to help some more on your own. Go ahead.
But we're still doing we're still building it, no matter what that lease says, right?
The proposal now is to replace the fields. Yes, essentially to replace the fields.
Let's take a break on that one. We're here with Michael DeQuisto. We're talking about the soccer field. Now, before I get picketed by the soccer kids, my granddaughter plays soccer. She's played soccer since she's six. I think it's a great exercise. I think it, especially for girls, teaches them not to be afraid of physical contact. It gives them, you know, a lot of great things they learn in life. So I'm not against people playing soccer. What I'm here is to find out what our city leaders are thinking and how we're not going to have 8 years from now, we're putting another soccer field in and the taxpayers are paying for that one too. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Judy Maxwell is a consummate professional in insurance and financial matters. She's been helping people since 1993. She's at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Give her a call at 221-0441. She handles my life insurance. And she every so often, she checks to make sure I'm still, trotting down the track just to make sure. We're here with Michael DeQuisto. We're talking the soccer field, but there's a lot of other things we need to talk about today, including these park fees. I mean, fees to build new parks and the impact it's going to have on business around here. We'll be right back. 56 degrees, 8:16 in the morning.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. My music hit me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord.
Paid for by Brian Daly for Senate, 2019.
Kevin Kiley voted to help illegal immigrants who are convicted criminals stay in our country. He voted to spend tax dollars helping illegal immigrant students get financial aid. Kevin Kiley worked for Liberal Democrat Kamala Harris, who supports amnesty and let illegal immigrant criminals go rather than prosecute them. Now, Kevin Kiley is distracting voters from his liberal illegal immigration record by deceitfully attacking Brian Daly. The truth is, as Assembly Republican leader, Brian Daly led the fight against sanctuary cities and has always opposed amnesty. Unlike Kevin Kiley, Brian voted against wasting our tax dollars on illegal immigrants. Brian Daly, endorsed by six county sheriffs because he's tough on crime and illegal immigration. Brian Daly, A-rated by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association because he protects our tax dollars. Reject Kevin Kiley's deceitful smear campaign. Fight amnesty and illegal immigration. Send Reagan Republican Brian Daly to the Senate on March 26th.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer, announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite.
Elite Dealer.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit at Wind River Spa. Indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean here at Wind River Spa. Our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skincare and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
Springtime is the time to buy a new Polaris. During the Polaris Spring Sales event, you can get low financing and rebates up to $1,500 on the world's best-selling side-by-sides and ATVs. See your Polaris dealer now. Visit Lee's Polaris, 2230 Larkspur Lane in Reading. Offers valid in U.S. through April 30th, 2019 on new 2015 through 2019 vehicles. Subject to credit approval. Offers vary by model. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never drink and ride.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, certified by the Joint Commission as an advanced primary stroke facility. Stroke Center offers comprehensive treatment for stroke, caring for patients affected by strokes, beginning with an immediate evaluation and further on care. Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's 8:20 in the morning. It's 57 degrees out there. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And I'm here with Michael DeQuisto, who is one of our Reading City Council members. We're discussing the soccer field, the $5.1 million soccer field. So when this study was brought up, were there studies done comparing the fields?
I have not seen a formal study.
Right.
In informal conversations I had with Chad New, who was the manager at the soccer park,
mm-hmm.
he indicated to me that it would be substantially cheaper to put grass fields in, but that they couldn't be used all year round like a synthetic field
yeah.
would be, and that also the cost of watering, particularly in the summertime, was some astronomical number, and that their budget couldn't afford to pay those utility costs. And so he thought in the long run,
mm-hmm.
and maybe he had done some studies, that the return on your investment, counting future tournaments and mm-hmm. future use and some estimates, would be better if you put a synthetic field in than a grass field.
Well,
but I haven't seen a formal study.
There's no doubt that you can play year-round, but when you get up to – there's grass fields up in Bellingham, Washington, where it rains a lot, and they use it a lot. And I understand that reasoning. I also understand from because I have looked up studies on it, on the cost of it and how much you can use it and the upkeep on it and replacement on it. And, the turf field far exceeds grass fields. So you have to ask yourself, is it, do we need to play year-round? Do we play in the different seasons? Now, our turf field is used year-round. There's some of the high schools use it and all that. But the cost of it, how do we get the money for that?
Let's talk about the cost. So the soccer field estimate was around $4.5 to $5 million initially. And then when the city brought it forward, they added city development fees and city oversight that raised it to $5.5 million. But in round numbers,
yeah,
the city has $500,000 from a settlement with the current turf manufacturer, I believe.
Okay.
So that's in a pot. McConnell Foundation, I understand, is putting in $1 million.
That's what I've heard. Up to a million.
Up to a million. So that's $1.5 million. If you take it off to $4.5 million, that leaves $3 million. The source of the $3 million is interesting. The source of the $3 million was a settlement that was received less than a year ago from the Enron litigation back in the early 2000s by REU.
Mm-hmm.
And so the proposal is for REU.
What year was that?
It was in the 2000s that it started, but they just got the settlement like in July or August of this year.
Oh, okay,
year.
Okay.
The lawyers had to make money for many years.
Okay, right, to do that.
So you got $3 million. Now, the proposed arrangement is that REU will loan that money to the general fund. And in theory, it'll be paid back. Now, one of the things that I said, well, no, just listen.
You said in theory. And when people use the word in theory to me,
yeah,
you know, my eyebrow goes up.
I know. But I said at the council meeting, and I firmly believe this, and this was not proposed by the staff, and I brought it up, and I said, what about selling some surplus city property to either pay for the $3 million and not borrow it from REU, or to pay back REU, depending on the timing of the sale of the property? Because what you're doing then is you're taking an asset the city owns, which is property that's just sitting there not doing anything,
mm-hmm.
and you've now put it in the soccer park, which I think is a reasonable way to look at it to pay the $3 million back, if you can do that.
What did Barry Tippin say about this? Because he's not crazy about this kind of thing.
No,
because of the type, because of the everything that goes along with those sales and the property they have. That the city has really isn't even because of the angle of the slope can't even build on.
Well, he doesn't seem to be excited about it. I think that's a fair statement. What he has agreed to do, and the other members on the council asked him to do this along with me, is to come back to the council with a list of the property that the city owns and the property that he thinks is most likely to be sold or reasonably to be sold, and so we can move forward on that. So it is moving forward. It's not just sitting statically. So that's one of the proposals. So that gets the money back to REU, because that's really where the money should be. It belongs to the ratepayers,
right,
not to the citizens. The second issue is people say, well, why don't you spend the $3 million on police? And if you send it to the police department, there isn't even an in-theory likelihood it will be paid back because they don't generate any money.
Well, you can't use that kind of money for salaries. You can only use it for capital,
I agree.
Capital projects.
So I don't think – I mean, people say, why are you spending $3 million on the soccer park when you're not spending it on police and fire?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the explanation, is that you can't just take –
You can't take that and use it for – yeah, because it's a one-time addition to them, and it's not ongoing.
That's correct.
Right.
So that's why you can't use that money for that.
No, I understand that perfectly. But what I'm looking at is the $3 million, what's the payment on that? Isn't that like $230,000 a year?
So they'll bring up presumably there'll be a note that'll be executed between the REU and the City of Reading. And I haven't seen it. The note hasn't been prepared because I don't know what the final number is. I don't know how the payments are going to be made.
$3 million is probably, you know, if let's just say for 10 years, just simple math says it's $300,000 a year.
Well, again, that gets me back to selling surplus property, mm-hmm. so that you pay the note down or off so you don't have to make that. But the answer is, yeah, even if you pay REU what they get on the money now, let's say they get 1% or 2% on some kind of money pool that they keep it in,
mm-hmm.
you have to at least pay that back as part of the deal. So that there's no question that's an issue.
Well, that 230, let's just say 300,000 just because it's easier for me to say. 300,000 comes out of our general fund.
It would have to.
And that's $300,000 a year.
So it would have to.
That's, you know, so 30,000, that's, you know, 20,000. Let's say 20,000 a month. The soccer park gives us 6,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So the other 14,000 a month comes out of general fund.
It's what we call an investment in the community. But you're absolutely right. That in those plain number terms, there I don't find anything to dispute about that.
Which would
the add, numbers might be slightly different, yeah. but that's how they got to get.
Which would add at least three policemen on the streets,
but you
three
get,
or four.
But you get back to, well, it's unclear where that money would come from out of the budget, because and the budget thing so far that hasn't been taken into account. We are doing a budget meeting for in June, I think, for the upcoming 2 years, and there'll have to be some. Determination made as to where that money's coming from. Maybe it comes out of the surplus they have, or the reserves, as they call it, the money that's hidden. Hidden's not the right word. It's the
hidden,
money that
we have hidden money
no,
in the budget.
It's not the right word. It's the money that they keep in reserve according to the city policy, which is so much percent of the general fund budget.
Yeah, I understand. We have to do that for bond ratings.
And bond ratings and accounting.
No, I understand that. That's just you know that's.
So okay. I will say the other thing is that the park does generate. visitors when they have tournaments,
and it
contributes to the transient occupancy tax.
Something like 500,000. They were saying 500,000 a year. I don't know if that's
true. You know, it's really interesting. A lot of those are estimates, and I don't know how you can actually prove what it is unless you track each one specifically. But there is some benefit to the community from having that come in there. And there's a benefit to there's no police calls out there. And it gives the kids something to do. You know,
I am all for it. You know, I go back again. My granddaughter's been playing club soccer since she was six. I've gone to tournaments in Las Vegas in 10 fields there, all grass fields, of course. And also talking to my daughter, who has been involved with soccer for a long time, the amount of injuries they have on turf is the head injuries are more severe because it doesn't bounce. You know, like the ground gives. But they have kids that are getting concussions out there from hitting. I don't know if anybody looked at that.
I don't. I haven't heard of any that have happened out at that field. But.
Well, that's just anecdotal information. I haven't looked that one up yet.
And I get that.
But I believe everything my daughter tells me.
Well, and I get that people disagree with it, and I look at it and say it's one of those honest disagreements. It's one of those votes where you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't.
Okay.
And I made what I thought was the best choice for the community.
Okay, because when we come back after the break, we have to take a break right now. What we're going to talk about is that balance, because the city found $700,000 someplace, from what I understand. I'd sure like to hear what your thoughts on that.
We can talk about
it. Okay. Hey, look, this portion of the show is brought to you by friends over at SST Oil. You know what? When they started, the most popular TV show was The Andy Griffith Show, followed by The Lucy Show. 1967 is when they started. 52 years. Green Bay Packers were the Super Bowl I champions. That was Super Bowl I. Think about that. And SST Oil has been making deliveries to truck stops, farms, service to thousands of home heating oil customers throughout multiple counties with quality home heating fuel and service. This is SST Oil, an employee-owned company. They're great people down there. At Shasta Siskiyou Transport. So we'll be right back after these messages with Michael DeQuisto. It's 8:30 in the morning. It's 58 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day up to 74 degrees.
This weekend, the original Home and Garden Expo and Love Your Pet Expo returns to the Shasta District Fair and Event Center. Need landscape ideas? Household improvements? A new roof, gutters, lighting, doors, windows, flooring, appliances, a pool, spa, barbecue, patio, pest control, decking, fencing, weatherproofing, or planning a garden? Find answers for all your spring home improvement projects and speak to the experts. For information, go online at ReadingHomeExpo.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes.
I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
The original Home and Garden Expo returns to the Shasta District Fair and Event Center this weekend. Speak to the experts ranging from home remodeling and construction through landscaping solutions, interior design and decor, to financial and insurance services, and learn about the latest in design and green technology. Plus, the Love Your Pet Expo featuring vaccines, heartworm testing, dog sports, demonstrations, adoptions, and more. For information, go online at Reading Home Expo and loveyourpetexpo.com.
Free Fire Radio. It's a target-rich environment.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. The studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's down in Sacramento. She'll be back today. She was doing a little retail therapy with her mom. God knows what that's going to end up as. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold. Give them a call at 244-9478. They just work on appointments now. 244-9478, Cypress Square Barbershop. Go in there, and you can still go in early, catch up on your reading, and then listen to Tim and Logan talk about stuff. Okay, we're here with Michael DeQuisto. We talked about the soccer field and the $300,000 that's being used to pay for the soccer field. We've got one of the argument is we can have more. We can't ignore amenities like soccer fields. It gives our children a place to go out, brings in people from all over. There's quote $500,000 in TOT. You know, I don't know how you can tell that either. That's there. But that's still $300,000. Well, it looks like the city found $700,000 in cuts.
So they did. We had a series of budget workshops, and each department head came in and presented their what their budget was and how it was spent in general terms. And we had four meetings, and at the conclusion, Barry Tippin came up with some recommendations. And what he was able to find was an additional $700,000 in round numbers, which consisted of $250,000 for the marijuana tax, which is what he estimates the city will collect in a year. I think he said they're collecting about $5,000 a week. It consisted of about $150,000 in savings by combining the finance director with the treasurer into one department head.
Sounds good to me.
So that's $250,000 plus $150,000 is $400,000. It consisted of about $300 in bond refinance, which means we have lower debt payments on money the city has borrowed. Mm-hmm. And there was one department head from the IT department who said, I have a position which is currently vacant, and I would agree to keep that position vacant. And that was about $30,000 a year was the general fund.
Okay. That comes up to your $700,000.
That's about $700,000.
Well, here's my question about that $250,000 from the marijuana tax. If that's how much are we making, how much are we going to make off marijuana, the estimate?
His estimate is the first year, and he thinks it's conservative based on what the city has been collecting mm-hmm. for the two or three or 4 months right. It's been going on, is it'll be $250,000.
Well,
that's his number. That's what's included in there.
That's even less, though, than City of Shasta Lake, which made $400,000 the first year. But we have less stores, but we just got another one. Y'all just okayed another one.
He's trying to be conservative, and it's left that if the money goes up and there's more, he'll come back to the council and say, how should we spend this additional
well,
money?
Well, I thought that the money that we made on marijuana was supposed to go into public safety and also helping fund marijuana treatment and keep it out of the hands of kids. That was the whole thing behind it, not to pay for soccer fields
Well, I think you are mixing apples and oranges a little bit.
Okay.
But when I ran and I said specifically the marijuana tax fund should go for public safety, whether it goes to help fund a new jail, more jail beds, whether it's for police officers, that's where it should go. So as I view this, the $300,000 that's going to be spent for more community service officers, which is coming up this Tuesday, if you look at $250 coming from the marijuana tax, I think that's a way to look at being done.
Then I will take a step back on that one. If that's, from what I understand, that will fund what, at least four community service officers.
The proposal for this Tuesday is to fund four. They want to get two on by May, and then they want to get another two on when the budget starts in July, and it will allow them to basically have a community service officer on every shift, I think is what it is. Chief Moore will present on that Tuesday night if you want to come down and listen. And I think that's a good thing.
I think it's a great thing because more community service officers means more officers on the street. That's just the bottom line.
I think it's wonderful. It won't solve the problem, but it's certainly it's a positive step forward, and I applaud everybody that came up with a way to go do it. There were some other things in the budget meeting, and I had suggested looking at furlough Fridays, in some fashion, across the board, except for police and fire. Unfortunately, you need three on a council to agree to that, and that was
another one of those
4-1
votes.
4-1 votes. But that's okay.
Did you feel like Adam felt on the soccer field vote?
Hey, you know, my job is to do what I think is best for the citizens and the people that elected me, and that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what I'll continue to try to do. And you can't just give up. You keep plugging away and do what you can go do.
I want to swing around this one more time, and then I'm going to change subjects here. I think the finding the $700,000 was great. And if we add another marijuana store, which looks like it's going to happen here, that'll be additional revenue for our city. No matter what you think of it. Okay?
That's right.
No matter what you think about it happening, I mean, it's here. It's law. I imagine that things are going to change dramatically on the national level here in the next few years.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I go back into the oversight of the park. There was really little to no oversight of the soccer park under our Parks and Rec before.
Well, let's put it this way. To the extent there was oversight, it didn't accomplish getting money in a field replacement fund. So
right.
It was not very effective oversight.
Okay. There is a way, and this field is going to have to be replaced. We know that.
Clearly.
From what I understand from Chad New, who's done extensive studies of this, he's the manager out there.
Correct.
If the surface of the field is done correctly, and there's a couple of other things, that the replacement next time would be quite a bit cheaper. Did you understand that, too?
That's what he told me, and it was in the neighborhood of a replacement of maybe, I don't know, $1 million or something.
Yeah.
You certainly estimate.
For four fields.
For four fields, and I don't know what the time frame. I assume it's at least 10 years and maybe 15 years, somewhere in that time frame before it would need to be replaced.
Okay. All right. Ready to move on?
Absolutely. I'm tired of kicking this dead soccer ball. You were kicking it.
Oh, I love kicking it because, you know, I need to be, as many other people, we need to be convinced that this is something that was a good decision, because now we're talking at the same time. Julie Winters is talking about a 1 cent sales increase tax, but we won't get to that one right now. Let's get to the parks vote.
Okay.
Can you tell everybody exactly what that is?
There was a proposal that's been floating around for a long time to increase the park fees on residential and on commercial development, and it was again presented by Ms. Niemer. And it was voted on, and it was approved 3-2. Adam McElvain voted no. I voted no. And the other three council members all voted yes. And essentially what the fee did is currently if you're building a Costco or a commercial building, you don't pay anything for a park impact fee. And that seems to make perfect sense to me. It's hard for me to understand how building a Costco is going to increase the need for parks in the future for the city. So I don't see a connection between the two in spite of what was in the staff report, and I was not in favor of it. The second, it also hurts development to some extent.
Yeah, you just added $80,000 on
just adding more fees. Apparently Panda Express paid a couple $100,000. So
it's probably then more than $80,000. Yeah, and this, we keep going.
And the second part was they wanted to raise the park fees on residential development, single-family homes and on multifamily homes. And again, I don't think that the community is growing. I don't think that we have an overabundance of these developments going on. I think it hurts the builders and it hurts the developers. I think it ultimately hurts the end purchasers. Now, does that mean – so I voted no on that. And that, again, was part – it was the same vote.
This was the Chamber of Commerce went strong on this about voting against the
– they did.
Against these proposed fees. This is going to – and I tell you what, we're going to have Mr. Middleton on here who has been
– Bruce or Rob?
Bruce. We're going to have Bruce on to talk about the impact this is having already, just that one vote is having already on commercial real estate in this town, already.
Well, and let me also explain so that people understand. These fees are for new construction only. And they go into a pot, and the pot is held by the city for future park development. And depending on your geographical location in the city, there's four sections, I think, or six. Mm-hmm. That's the pot that it goes into. So even if you pay it, there's no guarantee they're going to build a park next to Costco. It's going to sit in a fund until the city decides that, gee, we should go build a new park. None of this money can be used for maintenance, not a penny of it. And I think
of the existing 62 parks we have already.
Huh? Yeah.
I think there's
we got a lot.
Here's one person who said 62 parks, many underutilized. The next comment was extreme understatement. Park near my house is 100% empty for most of the year. Church park down the street is also empty. Kids don't play outside so much anymore. The parents won't let them.
So here, this is part of to circle back to the excess city property. Maybe a list should be made of the parks in different neighborhoods. And letters sent to adjacent property owners to say, hey, would you guys like to buy this land? Would you like to develop it? Would you like to do something with it because it's too hard for us to maintain? We don't have enough people, and we want to go sell it and see what we can go do. It's a thought. It maybe
why not? Help.
Well, especially in some older neighborhoods where you don't have as many young people and kids. So, you know, there's a lot of ideas and a lot of things you can do. It's the old story. If you can't maintain what you have, then you need to reduce what you have so you can afford to maintain it. If you own property and you can't maintain it, you sell it.
That's right. Okay. We're here with Michael DeQuisto, and we're talking about this new park fee. He voted against it, and it's for future parks. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be in a used right away. It's going to go into a fund. It doesn't mean there's going to be in your area, there's going to be a park. You may already have parks in your area, and are they being used? Are they being maintained? And we're going to talk about that when we get back. 8:45 in the morning, 61 degrees, going up to 74 today. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793. We'll be right back after these messages.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM, yes, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Where are you going to find out more about what's happening in the city than right here? We've had three of the city council people on talking about the field. One that voted against it, two that voted for it, and we're past that. Now we're in the park fees that Mike DeQuisto voted against. Now, do we have this is already having an impact. I've got commercial real estate people calling me. One grabbed me by the by my lapels and told me all about this stuff. He'll be on this week. The impact it's having on commercial construction right now already. How much money is this? Do we have any idea?
Well, I've heard the same comments about the effect on commercial building and development. I heard them at the council meeting. I heard them before, and I've heard them after, and they seem to be consistent. As far as how much money the fees will raise,
mm-hmm.
Nobody knows. You say, well, okay, last year we had 100 houses, and this year we'll have 100 houses, or whatever the estimate is, and you add the increase and you add it up. It's not all that much money. But it doesn't matter. If you can't maintain the parks,
okay, now Aaron
why
Reznor,
build new ones?
Aaron Reznor, who is a strong proponent of this, said that the parks we have now are being maintained. Many people disagree with that.
Do you think South City Park's being maintained?
Well, I think once they get it all fenced in, it's gotten a lot better.
You think Henderson Open Space is being maintained?
No, I don't think so.
You think that the park by Freebridge?
I don't have to defend this. All need to turn to each other on the fund. I don't need to defend this.
Well, let me just say this.
Okay. I know you're giving examples of parks that aren't
maintained. So,
how about alongside the river trail?
Different people on the council have different views of how well the parks and the trails are being maintained. And it's just, I'd say it's fair to disagree. I think they could be maintained better if there were fewer of them, because clearly you can't maintain all the ones that you have right now.
Well, you know, since you are subsidizing things, we have one of the chat room people says that the city should subsidize Linda's retail therapy down in SAC. This is good for her, you know, and it's good for the community because she's happy and, you know, she's out singing. And you know,
That's your job to subsidize.
Subsidize? Oh, okay, got it. All right. Now, the these future parks – but there's none planned, right?
As far as I know, there are none. In theory, there's potential, but there's none on the drawing board to say we're going to do this right now.
What about, has anybody done a study on the use of the parks we have already?
I'm not aware of one that talks about that.
I would think that we'd send somebody out to each one of the parks. You know, one guy could do this or one girl. Go out there and just watch the park for a week. How many people use this park? And if the answer is like 5 people, 10 people, 100 people. I think that's important before we start spending money and hitting our future. Our future in this city is growth. We've got to be building. the K2, now is K2 going to get, is they're going to have to pay retroactive fees?
You know, that's a good question. We didn't discuss whether they're retroactive or not.
I mean, it's not built yet. I mean, I don't think you can because they've already got the loans and all that. I don't think you can do it retroactively.
There would certainly be an issue. As to
but this next place they're planning on building right down here is huge, you know, theater and parking and multi-use buildings. It's going to impact on that.
It's going to impact on all future development. There's
that's
no
right.
question about that.
The okay. The next thing that was brought up by Julie Winters was a 1 cent sales tax.
Yeah,
Am I the only one that heard about that?
No, I heard about it. I read the article in the paper.
Yeah.
I ran on not raising taxes and the city should cut its expenses. And I still believe that the city needs to cut more expenses than it's doing currently. I think they can do better. I think they need to do that. And I think that, again, from the vote between Aaron and myself and James Crockett, 67% of the people voted for three people that had no prior government experience. So it certainly tells me several things. One is that the citizens in general are unhappy with the way the current government's being run, and they want some kind of change. And related to that, I don't think they have trust in the government. I mean, if you take those same votes, 67%, that would be enough to pass a specific tax. That's how unhappy people are. And I think that you can't even begin to ask for a new tax until you regain the trust of the voters. And how do you do that? You show them that you're spending their money wisely. And before you say it, don't say that the $3 million on the soccer park wasn't a wise.
I'm just saying, do you think that'll come back and haunt you?
It could. It could. And if it does, at the moment, I stand by my decision. But I'll say one more thing.
No, I don't mean haunt you personally. But the idea when the people go up, okay, we're going to vote for a 1 cent sales increase, and this is where the money's going to go to. Do you think this is going to be brought up?
Oh, I'm sure it is. I don't. Let's wait and see specifically what they say and what they propose. I'd be happy to come back after that and talk on it. But in general terms,
yeah.
I don't think that that there's any been enough trust rebuilt to try to get a tax pass of any kind. I think that that's I think it's premature to try to go and do that.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning. Do you have a question for Michael DeQuisto?
I do. I don't know. This whole program, I didn't get in on the whole thing. I got in on about the last 20 minutes. We're increasing fees. We're building a soccer park. We have a complete mess in Reading. And one thing I want to say, I was surprised about the park fee, and I was surprised at Aaron's vote. I know we talked extensively about Anderson and how she loved Anderson because Anderson was so easy to work with and all this stuff. I don't know what's going on. I don't know whether maybe they have a change to drinking fountains down there. I'm not really sure what it is. But seriously, we're actually even having discourse about all this stuff with the mess we have in our city. I mean, seriously, we're talking about soccer fields and we're going to impact people for parks that aren't built, and we're going to do it with parks that wouldn't even be built near them. And then the way we're going to fix that is we're going to ask the residents of neighborhoods to buy the parks that are already in their neighborhood.
I think they already do that. I think they charge fees already for certain neighborhoods, don't they?
I know.
Are you part of that? I was really surprised about that.
Yeah.
They have landscape maintenance districts.
Yeah.
Where you basically take the property owners in a certain geographical area and you charge
them. Isn't that department like broke or something? Isn't it? I mean, seriously? I'm trying to come back to reality here. And
okay.
I'm trying to figure out what the thought process is. So I know, let's raise a tax. Let's raise the fees and let's ask the people to spend more money.
Got it. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, guys.
That was a good
Have
point.
A good day.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, I mean, a lot of people can't get their arms around this.
Well, as I've said, I'm not in favor of raising taxes or raising the fees.
I know you voted against it, yet it passed. And so, which means...
keep trying.
Because we don't even know, like you said, it goes into districts that may not even be around your neighborhood.
With no time frame for building. It could sit forever.
Anything good going on down there?
Yeah. The CSOs,
no, you have like 2 minutes.
The CSOs they're hiring is a very good thing.
That's great.
I have actually gone and met with just about every department head. Every department head in the city, I think, is trying to do a good job for the city, his or her best, within the guidelines and constraints that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's hard to do. there are some things that I would do differently that I can't get enough other people on the council to agree with, but maybe that'll change over time. Maybe it won't.
Maybe it'll change in the next election.
Well, I'd like to do it before then instead of waiting every 2 years to do it. But irrespective, I do think Aaron talked about this, and I think this is true. I think that there's a level of respect on the council for each other council member that is better than it has been in the past. That's really what it is.
Being able to work and talk to each other.
And while it would be you don't necessarily want everybody to think the same way because it's good to hear other views and other balances. I think it is good that there are people with different views. I will say on that, to go back to the $700,000 that was saved, the proposal was to take that money, two proposals, one to take the money and hold it to pay for a new roof on City Hall and to pay for some other capital expenses.
Didn't even get into that one.
Well, I mean, so that was one. And the other proposal was to take it and spend it on the police, but also to borrow $5 million as part of that. And what actually happened, this gets back to working together. I said, well, why don't we take the $700,000? Why don't we split it? And 50-50, 50 for capital improvements, 50 for police, anyway they want to go do it. And actually Julie Winter and Aaron Reznor went along with that and thought that was a good idea. So we got that 3-2. So that is an example of the council working together to try to come up with solutions that really benefit everybody. And we didn't borrow extra money. We didn't go more in debt. And so I'm still hopeful. I think the glass is more than half full.
Okay. Well, that's good. You know, I don't want you being down. It's too early. Thanks a lot, Mike, for coming on. And, you know, stood up for what you were, you know, what you voted for. The tomorrow we have Rex Hines on, who's running for state senate also, and talk to see what he's doing and what he's interested in. Plus a couple of surprises for you. Carl Lindebot, KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM. It's Good Guys Against the Bad Guys. Which are you? My ground.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.